Next item on the agenda is 7.0, Administrator Reports, General Activity Report. David?
Good evening. I guess I will start with that, with a barge mishap by the Houston Ship Channel off Texas City. Notified council of that over the weekend. I have been following that. It was initially some slick movement to the north. It's been boomed. Now most of the migration of oil is outbound and not into Galveston Bay, which is good news. One of the concerns that I had wanted to share earlier is make contact with the Houston Yacht Club so they were aware if any oil were moving their direction. They do have the ability and facilities to boom off the harbor to keep it from coming into their harbor. And wanted to make sure they had a heads up on that. Police department monitored that over the weekend just in case there was any movement. And been tracking that on an ongoing basis from today. Not expecting there to be any impact to Shore Acres at this point. The biggest impact we have is that it stopped all the shipping traffic, and so those ships that are in Bayport are going to stay in Bayport, and they're going to get backed up. Don't know what Port Houston's going to do to try to catch up. I would anticipate that we're going to see more of a 24-hour operation when this frees up. We might anticipate that. I've not heard that from the port. But the number of ships they've got in Anchorage waiting to come in is likely to be something we're looking at. In terms of wildlife, there have been two live birds and three deceased birds that have been recovered from the slick. And so pleased that the numbers are so small. And that's the only wildlife that's been impacted thus far. Moving on to street and storm drainage projects, we've gone through the punch list. I think that has largely been accomplished. A lot of the signage and things have been removed. Silt screening is still being pulled, and that should all be gone where it's not necessary anymore. And we haven't had a final sign off on that street and drainage work. We're real close to that.
Mayor, if I may. Since we did agree that that could be addressed during Mr. Stahl's initial general activity report, I do have that phone number for wildlife.
Oh, very good.
It's 1-888-384-2000. 1-888-384-2000. Just want to make sure that was out there before we delve too further into Mr. Stahl's report.
Thank you very much. Just for clarification, I'd like to reiterate that number as being 1-888-384-2000. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
And do not touch them.
I believe that we can probably put some sort of notice or advisory on the city website to help get that word out. Would that be an accurate statement?
Sure.
Thank you very much. If there are no other council questions or statements at this time, we'll continue with the report.
All right. In water and sewer project updates, they're still working through the punch list. For both the lift stations and the water plant, there were a couple items that were missed in the specs. The equipment was there, but the number of contractors working on various parts, they didn't integrate it fully, and so that's underway. We're currently back on with both plants operating. We had a shakedown where we operated just plant one, and then we had an issue there. We put in a restriction plate, and we're controlling the flow now in refill, which occurs in the middle of the night. That's been successful. Pressures are being maintained properly. We now are running both plants. We did have an overflow of the elevated on a couple occasions, which was more of a nuisance than a problem. It did cause us to shut plant two down for a couple days. Now we're fully back online. The altitude valve on the tank had not been adjusted, and so now it is adjusted and we'll be operating, and we shouldn't see any additional overflows on the elevated storage. The pressure is up and the flow is up. It will probably be a day or two before we run a full cycle where we're currently drawing down ground storage tanks at plant one. When we get in a couple days, then we'll run the refill cycle where we'll put water back in, and that'll be a full evolution of the operation of our two plants. We still don't have the SCADA installed on plant two. That was intentional on the part of the contractor. We wanted to make sure that plant one was fully up and operational before they did anything to controls at plant number two that might cause there to be a hiccup there and have both plants affected. We're past that hurdle, and so now they're scheduling to install all the SCADA controls on plant number two, which is the one on Bioforest. When those are controls are in, then we'll have more control over the system, and we can start the process of slowly ramping up system pressure. Did you have a question about water and sewer?
Yes, sir. Just Michael Schmidt, Assistant Team. My question was, with the restrictor valve going in, we have a fully operating system that is automated. Putting in the restrictor plate is just as such. In the event that there's an emergency or anything like that, is that restrictor plate going to keep us from getting any extra pressure or creating more back pressure in our system while it's working? And should there have been an automated, like a variable valve put into that system instead of open closed, where we had to do a knee-jerk reaction and put a restrictor plate in instead of adjusting the controls to control the pressure and the flow?
Well, we knew that a restriction plate was going to have to go in for the design. The restriction plate does just the opposite. It's what makes sure that we don't have a pressure loss in an emergency or an event. This is a fill pipe, and it takes pressure off of the system to fill the tanks. And so by putting the restriction in there, it guarantees that it can't overfeed and drop system pressure when it's needed.
Okay. Does it still have a variable control valve behind it that operates it, or is it just strictly running off the restrictor plate?
It is an automatic valve. It's an automated valve, so it's solenoid control, and so it's a slow open, slow close valve. But there's a limitation on how much water you want that valve to flow and impact system pressure. You want that valve closed if there's an emergency. If we have a fire or if we have a major water break, trying to maintain pressure, we want that valve closed. So we certainly don't want to defeat the restriction plate in an emergency.
I understand that. Thank you very much for your comments.
Okay. The next item I have is a land purchase for future storm drainage project. This is something that will come up on the agenda in the future. As you all know, the Harris County legal departments are not very speedy. So we know it's in the pipeline now. We've been working on this for about 2.5 years. When we did our round one storm drainage project, we wanted to improve storm drainage in our highest surface flooding zone, which may surprise some of you and not others. It's from Seagrove up Byway to Fairfield, and about 6 or 7 homes each side of Byway. We had a flooding event in April a couple years ago, and those are the homes that flooded. There's very poor drainage. And the problem there is getting water from Byway to this slough that runs behind the water plant. And so as that water, if you go downstream and work up, you start off in Taylor Bio, and then you come through culverts that are under old 146, which are TxDOT pipes. When you get on this side of 146, old 146, it becomes Harris County Flood Control District. Harris County Flood Control District comes up and goes under Oakdale up to the right-of-way, which is county right-of-way of Schroeder's Boulevard, and then it becomes county drainage from the south side of the street to the north side of the street. And when you get on the north side, that's where the natural drainage is at, and what feeds between there and Byway is private property. And it's not in any drainage district. And you go through the block diagonally to Seagrove, and when you get to Seagrove right-of-way, then it becomes the city of Four Acres drainage. And so we have a bottleneck there. We have a weak link. We could, our original storm drainage grant was to go from Byway and Seagrove all the way out to channelize that and improve that drainage. Unfortunately, the CDBG grant funds cannot be used to do land acquisition, and they can't be used to do easements. So those two pieces of property blocked us from doing that. Well, in the process, we discovered that the north lot on Seagrove was a foreclosure by the school district decades ago, and they've had that property. We went to the school district and the other taxing entities and demonstrated that the property was unusable for residential. It diagonally had storm drainage. It was natural drainage that made the land unusable, which is why the person stopped paying taxes on it and let it go into tax foreclosure. We convinced the school district to waive that and to give up their interest in it to the city. We were not able to convince the Harris County Hospital District or the Harris County Education District to waive theirs, but altogether their back taxes were less than $300. We agreed to pay that, but Harris County still had to sign off on the sale. We've been negotiating for 3.5 years on that, and finally reached an agreement that they will put now a permanent deed restriction that the property can only be used for storm drainage, which is no problem, and they will convey that property to the city of Short Acres so that we can get halfway there. Then, once that's in place, then we'll negotiate with the property owner for an easement for the portion of drainage, which would just be to improve and maintain drainage that he already has there. And we'll be able to substantially improve drainage for our residents who routinely flood along Byway. So this is just kind of letting you know that's coming. And if you have any questions, now would be the time, not tonight, but in the intervening weeks here before we bring that to council, to have those discussions and clear up any questions you might have. And that's all I have on the land purchase, unless you have any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from council at this time?
I have a question going back to 7.1.2 on the water system. I just, on the Sunday the 16th, the city lost water pressure significantly late in the morning. And is that part of the reason, because of the SCADA not being up and running in two? Because it's my understanding that someone from Public Works manually had to go to a plant to actually do something. And I kind of thought we were supposed to be pretty automated.
Yeah.
That's why we spent the big bucks.
Yes, so the SCADA system is not fully implemented at this point, but that wasn't driven by SCADA. What happened there was we were running the plant to do a fill cycle so that we could get pressure measurements to know what size the restriction plate should be that goes downstream of the valve. It operated. The pressure dropped lower than we wanted it to be, but what neither the SCADA personnel did not recognize at that point, and this is where we have multiple vendors. We have a vendor for the SCADA, we have a vendor for the controls, and the controls have fail safes. So the SCADA guy didn't know that the PLC fail safes were going to kick in. So the pressure dropped, the hardware saw the pressure dropped lower than the limit, which indicated if the SCADA failed, which it didn't. And when it saw that, then it turned all three booster pumps on to try to recover. And at that point, it overrode the SCADA. When all three booster pumps came on, then the pressure came back up, but it overshot the limit on the pressure, which overflowed the water tower, which then tripped an overpressure, and it killed the system. Now that we have the restriction plate in, we did that same thing another time, only this time we monitored it real time on the ground, saw what the pressures were, did the calculations, had the plate made, put the plate in, ran it again, we're good. So that can't repeat. But it was more of a hardware failure than it was a SCADA failure.
Okay. Yeah, because Sundays would not be the day to test anything. That's somebody who's doing their laundry. Think about it. Okay. Thank you very much, David. Appreciate that.
You ready for financial report?
I want to check with council to see if there are any other questions concerning the general activity report. Are there any questions or comments from citizens at this time? Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. This is a question on this water plant issue. It's been going on for 4 years now, 3 years, whatever. I assume that the project engineer who's overseeing this, I mean, it's part of the grant program, I understand. Is that in fact happening? Is there is a project engineer on site overseeing these subcontractors and see what's going on?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, that's all I can say.
Yeah. No.
Maybe he doesn't understand what he should be doing.
And I concur with you. I feel your pain. Yeah. There are actually four engineers on the project. There's the lead engineer, there's a project engineer, both from the engineering company that designed it. There is an engineer that the SCADA people have on site, and there's an engineer that the controls people have on site.
Okay. It's one of those things, who's in charge?
They're all listening to different music that we're getting.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions at this time? Not here, we'll move on to the monthly financial report. David?
Yes, in your packet is the financial report. We'll start with the checking account balances. You can see at the end of February, general fund has a balance of $451,000. The utility fund balance is $62,186. Our deposit, service deposits, which are not our money, is $55,462. The CDBG block grant fund, we still cycling some money through there. It hit between payments, and so we ended February with $27,264 in there. The balance will build now slightly as we have retained funds on some of these projects. So the work has been completed and we've been paid the money, but we're holding the money until performance is demonstrated. We also have liquidated damages on the water plant that will also be reflected in there. That really will never be our money. The unexpended funds will go back to the GLO and not to the city. Text pool account, we made a $100,000 deposit back to text pool. That's the $100,000 that we used for cash flow that we withdrew in October, so we put that back in February. So our text pool balance is $954,839. We, of course, have not touched our four certificates of deposit, so we have about $250,000 in those four CDs. Property tax collection is doing well. We are currently 91% collected on our current taxes. So we have collected $729,320, and our that's 91% of what we budgeted. We have also collected $11,562 in delinquent taxes, which are prior year taxes. And the last item is the sales tax. A sales tax is up for the year. We continue a very positive trend with sales tax. In February, we collected in general sales tax $6,122. That's 14% above February of last year. And the road maintenance tax, of course, is a quarter of that, so $1,530, which is also 14% more than the prior fiscal year.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from council concerning the monthly financial report? Are there any citizens' questions, comments concerning the financial report? There are none appearing. We'll move on to business. The first item of business is consideration and approval of invoices. Council has had an opportunity to review those invoices. I will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve our invoices.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mike. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? If not appearing, the motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration and action to appoint citizen members to the Miramar Shorelines Advisory Group. At this point in time, we have almost every position filled except for West District, and I have not had any more applications for West District at this time, unless council knows of any that has come into them that have not been forwarded. We do not have a representative for the West District. At the last meeting, we had discussed the potential or possibility for council to amend our advisory group to allow for one of our volunteers, a substantial amount of volunteers from East District, to be perhaps placed in that open position. At this time, I'm interested to hear if council is interested in amending or taking action to amend that particular resolution to allow for the positioning of someone other than a West District resident to fill that open position.
Mayor, if I may?
Yes.
I'm definitely interested in doing that, and we also discussed going ahead and setting a date for the first meeting. My recommendation to council would be to go ahead and allow for someone from the East District, and that person that I would recommend would be Charlotte Wells, as she was the very first person to step up when she learned that Jerry Victor was not going to be willing to serve there because Diane is on a committee, and fairly so. Thank you very much, Jerry. That would be my recommendation to council. But I definitely do think we should allow for someone from the East Side to, or the East District, East Side, boy, that sounds like we're in the hood. the East District to serve in the, to represent the city in a whole. And I also really would like to see council go ahead and set the first meeting date before we leave here this evening. We've been ping-ponging this around for long enough. So I don't know if you need a motion or make a motion that to amend, because it just says consider an action, action to appoint. There is no resolution directly reflected in the agenda item.
David, as a question of appropriate action, the amendment to appoint a member other than what is currently in the resolution, does that require a council vote at this time?
Actually, unless there's any objection to council, then it would just happen.
The cleanest way would be to modify the language of the resolution. I did read the resolution and was looking to see if it just said that was going to be a representative, but the way it reads is it says a resident of
a specific representative.
It is, however, a resolution and not an ordinance, so council could amend the resolution at the same time making an appointment.
Then for clarity's sake, what I would prefer to see is that we first make a motion to amend the resolution, and then as a following, once that is completed, then we move into the appointment of a member after that order of business has been taken care of.
I'd like to ask, besides Ms. Wells, is there anybody else here on this list that's here tonight?
I do not know.
I don't recognize.
If any of the following are in the audience, would you please raise your hands? Karen Garrity or Charlotte Wells, Gary Manuel, Barry Plant, or Norm Hankins, or perhaps even a representative from the West District. I don't want to overlook that. If there are any members here from that side of town who have showed up specifically to volunteer for that, I don't want to overlook that.
This notification, these other folks besides Mrs. Wells, mm-hmm. Was it via phone? Did you come in and talk to Mr. Stahl?
I do know that Barry Plant contacted me personally to volunteer. And Charlotte volunteered at the meeting
meeting before last.
Before last, I believe.
It was the January 27th meeting.
And I'm not certain about the other three volunteers. I do not recall when they, when and their method of volunteering.
Okay. Thank you. You got them.
That being said, I would like to make a motion to amend resolution number 2014-125, creating a Miramar Shoreline Advisory Group to include Ms. Charlotte Wills to serve on that group, representing the east side of the city, or the east district, including her as the east district representative in the city of Shore Acres, therefore fulfilling all vacancies of citizen representatives for that purpose of that advisory group.
Second, if you'll allow that word.
I don't believe, as the resolution reads it, it appoints a specific member of West District. What I'm looking to try to achieve is amending the resolution to allow for a member to
take the West out.
Yeah, take West out of the language, and then we move to the appointment.
I thought David said we could do it all at once. But, okay, that being said, now I've got to find it. I make a motion to amend resolution number 2014, creating a Miramar Shoreline Advisory Group to omit a West District member representing the city of Shore Acres.
There you go. Second.
If they omit the West District representative, does that eliminate the position altogether? Yes.
That's what I thought.
Oh, West 2, an open position.
Correct.
I apologize. I understood you incorrectly.
To an open position.
And we have a second by Stephen. We have a motion that has been properly seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With not appearing, the motion carries. And now we would certainly entertain the nominees for fulfilling that now open position.
I would like to nominate Charlotte Wells for the open position. She has shown the most vigor in appearing and wanting to.
Thanks, Stephen. Are there any other nominees at this time? With not appearing, we have nomination to fill the open position for Ms. Charlotte Wells, or with Ms. Charlotte Wells, I apologize. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all those opposed, with not appearing, the motion carries. And congratulations. At this time, we have all of the positions on the Miramar Shoreline Restoration and Improvement Advisory Group filled. And if there are no other questions from council or citizens at this time, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3246 Miramar. Are you going to the schedule of this going to be the next agenda item? The schedule of the next meeting for the advisory group?
I do not believe that is the next agenda item. However, if council wishes to set a date for the meeting time for the advisory group at this point in time, we will certainly entertain that motion as well.
Mayor, in light of the fulfillment this evening of the citizen members, and now we have a full vote, so to speak, for the Miramar Shoreline Advisory Group, I would make a motion that we schedule the meeting, their first meeting, to be 1 week from Wednesday. The second of April.
So you have moved then that the first meeting of the Miramar Shoreline Restoration and Improvement Advisory Group be held on April 2nd, 2014.
Time?
Yes, sir. It's beginning at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. And location?
Right here. City Hall. In the Coleman room.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Rick. And Nancy? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. And if there are no other questions from council or citizens at this time, we'll move on to the next agenda item. The next agenda item is consideration and action to ratify mayor's nominee for appointment to position 7 of the Planning and Zoning Commission for a term beginning March 25th, 2014 and ending January 31st, 2016. The nominee that I'm putting forward is Mrs. Diane Victor. Diane has served our city in this capacity for a number of years and has expressed her desire to continue serving the city in a continuing term. If there are no objections from council or if there are no citizen comments at this time, we'll be entertaining a motion to approve if council so wishes.
I'll make a motion to approve Ms. Diane Victor for the position of 7 Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Stephen. All of those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. And I would like to thank Diane personally for her continued service to the city. And I look forward to many great things. The next item on the agenda, 8.4, consideration and approval of 2014 Consumer Price Index Adjustment to Municipal Telecommunications Right-of-Way Access Line Rates. David?
Good evening. If you may recall from prior years, this time of year we always address the same issue. When the state of Texas changed the way franchise fees for the telephone companies worked, this became a necessity to have the consumer price index. We used to get a percentage of the phone bill as a franchise fee for the use of the city's street right-of-ways. And when we did that, as over time the bill went up from the cost of service, the city would see an increased revenue. That was changed years ago to a fee that's based on the number of lines as opposed to the cost of the service. Accordingly, this last year, the city has received 83 cents per residential line, $1.85 for commercial lines, and $2.75 for lease lines as our franchise fee.
You said $2.75?
$2.79. So the Public Utility Commission calculates the consumer price index adjustment for every jurisdiction, including the city of Short Acres, and they establish what the rate will automatically go to. In our case, we go from 83 cents to 84 cents, a 1 penny increase. On residential, on commercial, it's a 2 cent increase to $1.87. And on the point to point or the lease lines, it is a 3 cent increase. If the city takes no action, those will automatically be the default rates. The city has, however, the option to set the rate at anything less than that it so desires. Understanding that when you do that, that they will use the new rate to calculate where you start the next cycle. And so you'll never recapture where you were at in the cost of a consumer price index by doing that. So our recommendation is, with the limited revenues that the city of Short Acres has and opportunities to generate revenues to do the many things that we need and want to do, that we allow the consumer price index to take effect and for it to go up the 1, 2, or 3 cents across the board.
Are there any questions from council at this time?
No.
Are there any questions or input from citizens at this time? I'm not appearing. I would entertain a motion from council at this time.
I'll make a motion basically to approve the consumer price index adjustment 2014.
Second.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Nancy. We have a motion that has been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And with none appearing, the motion carries. We are adjourned at 8:08.